You know where you got to go then. We got to go to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Only four chapters. Ruth is located where it is because of what the first verse says in Ruth chapter 1. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. That's why Ruth is where it is located, because the book of Judges we just went through. The last verse in the last book of Judges, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, we don't call our presidents kings. We refer to them as presidents. And I think the rest of that part would go well with our day and age, that everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Huh? Yeah, that's pretty much gives us a good phrase for our period of time in history. Seems everybody wants to do what's right in their own eyes. Well, before we start, Lord, we ask you to prepare our hearts, our minds. Help us to see the things and understand those things that we see, in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Ruth is not really a history book, although it contains some history, but it's not a biography either. It's just a story. But it's not just a story, it's a true story. And if you like romances, it's a good romance story. The author, well, we have a couple we could pick from. If your Bible, mine's a Thompson Chain reference, and what it says under author, it says unknown. And then in parentheses, it says possibly Samuel. Possibly Hezekiah. Possibly Ezra. Possibly even David. Those are all possibilities. No one's certain. No one's real sure who the author is. The time? Probably under the judgeship of Eli the high priest. The particular time was under the judgeship of Eli the high priest. Now I have things highlighted. I won't want to read the chapters in its entirety. We have it's a time, it happened at the time of the judges. There was a famine. Where's the famine? In Bethlehem, Judea. Did you know that Bethlehem is a compound word? And the word Beth means house. Lehem means bread. We have a place called the House of Bread. If we're going to title this chapter, we would probably title it, Where's the Bread? Bethlehem, House of Bread. Where is the bread? There's a famine. People don't realize. Many people are impoverished today. They're in a famine and don't realize it. If you don't have the bread of life living and residing in your heart, you have a famine. There's a famine going on and you don't realize it. This was a real famine. And a certain man of Bethlehem of Judea had to sojourn into the country of Moab. Now, if I had a map behind me, which I don't, I'm going to try to portray to you. Picture me as the Dead Sea, huh? I'm the Dead Sea. Over here is Bethlehem. Over here is Moab. Now, its actually location is almost to the northern part of the Dead Sea, so it's actually up in here somewhere, is where the location is. Bethlehem, Moab. So to get to Moab, you'd have to go to the upper part of the Dead Sea, go across the River Jordan, and then come down over the side of the Dead Sea and come in about right in here somewhere, and that would bring you to Moab. Found out that there was food, there was bread in Moab, so this family decided to go to Moab. The name of the man was Elimelech. His wife was Naomi. They had two sons. I'm not sure if I can pronounce their names or not, but it was Mahlon and Chilion. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but they were the two sons. They were called Ephraites because actually Bethlehem's old name is Euphrates. The old term or the old name that Bethlehem was called was Euphrates. That was the old name. Bethlehem is the new term. And I guess that's why these are called Ephrathites. It really is referring to Ephrata or Bethlehem as it is now called when this was written. Now, on top of the famine, if that wasn't enough for to have a famine, and they had to travel, we don't know how much they took with them. Evidently, they took all that they could take with them. They didn't know how long they would be staying. If it wasn't enough that they had to leave their home country to go someplace to get something to eat, verse 3 says, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And then she was left and her two sons. And the two sons took them wives. Of course, they'd have to be women of Moab, which we say in verse 4, that's what they were because that's where they're at. They're living in Moab. The name of the one was Oprah, the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there for 10 years. Now, the reason that they write that there is because something else is going to take place. There's a famine. They left everything at home. They took everything that they owned with them. They're headed to a place so they can just get something to eat so they can survive. And the husband dies. The wife is left with her two sons. The two sons find a wife and they're married. So we have two marriages. And they're in Moab for 10 years. That's quite a stay for 10 years. And then verse 5 says, Mahlon and Chilion died also. Whew. Wow. Think about Naomi. Now she lost her husband and her two sons. You think you have it rough. Many men have afflictions, none like Job. Many women have had tribulation, none like Naomi. So Naomi's two sons die. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard, she got a report, that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. The report was that they have bread now in their country, and now, of course, Naomi wants to go home. Why wouldn't she? She's a stranger in a strange land. She wants to go, she wants to return home. So she said to her daughters, go and return, each to their mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with me, with the dead and with me. You've dealt kindly with my sons, and you've dealt also very kindly with me. And so she's trying to send them home. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they cried, they wept. They said to her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way, for I am too old to have another husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, if that were the case, and if that could happen, she's saying, if this really could happen, if it could happen, would you tarry for them until they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. You ever feel like the Lord's been against you? Do you ever feel like heaven has been sealed up and seems like heaven's brass? Not have any prayers answered? You ever feel alone? You ever feel discouraged? Ever go through a dry place in your life? We certainly can see that you're not alone. This is what Naomi has said. Naomi lost her husband. She lost her two sons. And she says, the Lord has his hands against me. Yes, sometimes it does feel that way. And they lifted up their voice and they cried again. Oprah kissed her mother-in-law and Ruth just hung on to her. Ruth clave on to her. She just didn't want to leave her. Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Naomi is bidding Ruth, do as your sister has. She's going back to her family. Why don't you do the same, Ruth? And that's when verse 16, Ruth says, no, don't ask me to do that. For whither thou goest, I'll go. And wherever you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people be my people. Your God will be mine. Isn't that that we see here a wonderful and beautiful love. And so they went, verse 19. Notice how many times the word Bethlehem is used here. It must be used at least four or five times. Verse 19, the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. They said, is this Naomi? Now, she's only been gone for 10 years, but you know what? Naomi's quite old, and evidently, Elimelech was older than Naomi. It's believed that her husband was probably older than Naomi. It was the case in the culture for women to have husbands that were older than them. That was a norm. And so we're going to assume that that was a norm in Naomi's case, that Elimelech was probably quite a bit older. But the sons, not sure why they died. We're not told why they died. Just don't know. Don't really know why they both died. But the people of the town, they rise up and they recognize Naomi. And they come out to meet her. And of course, they're glad to see her. In verse 20, they come out to make a big commotion about her. And she said to them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She's discouraged. You're not alone. Naomi's discouraged. And who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be in those circumstances? Think about it. You had to leave your home. You had to leave all your friends behind just to get something to eat. Then you lose your husband. Then you lose your two sons. And she says, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has afflicted me. Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite with her. And then they returned to Bethlehem. They came out of the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem, and it was in the beginning of the barley harvest. When they returned, it was the beginning of the barley harvest. And when is that? Well, it can happen as early as March. Most generally, it is in the month of April. Ebed, the name for April is Ebed, A-B-I-B. It was when the barley harvest was. And so as God's timing is always perfect, you know they were hungry. They were coming back. They made a long journey. We don't know how long their food lasted, but they journeyed back. And so it was the time of the barley harvest. And so that brings us then to chapter 2. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband. He was mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said, go, my daughter. This field is located a mile east of Bethlehem. The field which she'll be going is located about a mile east of Bethlehem. Adjoining this field is also a field that's called the Shepherd's Field. Does anybody know what the Shepherd's Field is about? Do you have a guess? Anybody have an idea why it's called the Shepherd's Field? Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. And while the shepherds were keeping their flocks by night, an angel of the Lord came to them. And the shepherds was in this field, adjacent to the field of Boaz. That's how close we are. Now, does it make any sense to you? The field of Boaz joined the field of the shepherd, the place where the shepherds received a message from Gabriel that they should go to Bethlehem, that there was going to be there a Savior being born. How interesting. Chapter 2, the field of which she was to glean, would be adjacent to the shepherd's field. And so she comes, and the servant, she had to talk to the servant. She had to get permission before she could glean the field. So she talked to the servant who was in charge of those who were gleaning the field. And she told this servant evidently all kinds of things. Evidently the servant may have asked her all kinds of questions, and she gave him the information he needed. And so then it says, as Boaz came to Bethlehem, he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And of course they answered him, "The Lord bless thee as well." Then Boaz said to his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" He noticed this young girl, and she was a good-looking girl. She was a nice-looking lady. Boaz is quite a bit older than her, because remember, he is a kinsman of Amalek. And Amalek was quite old. And so Boaz says, "Who is this damsel? Who is this girl?" So the servant goes on to explain who she is. Well, she's the Moabite lady. She's the one that came back with Naomi, verse 6. And he began to tell her all things about her. And then verse 7 says, so she went and she gathered after the reapers. It was a common thing for people who were extremely poor to do that. They could reap after the reapers, but they weren't allowed to reap with the reapers. They were only allowed to reap after the reapers. Whatever the reapers would drop, they could pick up, and they could use it and take it home. They were permitted to do that. And so she is gathering, and it tells you how industrious she is. She's not lazy. It said, verse 7, from the morning until evening, she tarried on the field. She tarried in the field. So Boaz took note of her. And he said unto them, he said to her, "Now, this is my field, and you're entitled to stay here in my field. I want you to reap in my field. But I want you to go with my maidens, and you can reap with that with my maidens. Go ahead and go with them." They were actually supposed to reap by themselves, but he said, "Go ahead, you can go with my maidens and reap with them. And also, if you get thirsty, you're welcome to drink of the water that the young men have already drawn." They drew the water, and then they carried this water to their field. So it involved some work to get the water there. Now those who reaped usually had to get their own water. They usually had to take care of their own water. But Boaz says, "You just help yourself to the water that we have here. You help yourself to it." Of course, some of the things that he heard, the good things that she did with Naomi, I'm sure is what helped Boaz make his decision what he wanted to do with her. He found out how well she took care of Naomi, and it touched his heart. And so it moved him to the kindness that he was now showing to Ruth. You be here by my maidens, and when you get thirsty, you just go ahead and take drink. Look what Ruth said when after Boaz showed such kindness in verse 10. Verse 10 says she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger?" Didn't Jesus do the same for you and me? Didn't he take knowledge? Didn't he also, as he had to be rejected by the Jews so that the Gentiles could be embraced? And so he embraced you and me as the Gentiles? Did he not also take note and take knowledge of us as strangers? Did we not also find grace in his eyes, as Ruth is finding grace in Boaz's eyes? Boaz answered, verse 11, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left your own father and mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherto." This is the information that Boaz got from his servant. The servant had told him this. So Boaz says to her, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." The wings that the Lord is speaking of, the Lord had spoken in another place. I'll get to that at the end. This particular chapter, we could name this, whose wings thou art come to trust, would be the key verse to chapter 2. And then at mealtime, verse 14, Boaz begins to show her more kindness. At mealtime, he said, come hither, eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And you'd think, on a hot day, why would you want to dip your bread in vinegar? What was actually sour wine? The vinegar here is interpreted as sour wine. It actually was very refreshing, even though it was hot, a hot day. It would be found very refreshing. Boaz said at mealtime, come, and you can also eat with us. And again, he's showing her love. And I want you to see something else here. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean no longer behind the reapers, but let her glean among the sheaves. Did you catch that? When she started, she was gleaning and getting what was dropped. Now Boaz, because of his wonderful love that he's drawn to Ruth, he said, you can glean among the sheaves. You go right along with the reapers, and you can glean right along with them. Oh, and then he says something else. This is great. Let her glean among the sheaves and reproach her not. Look at verse 16. Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Hey, you know what? When you're going through reap, just kind of let some drop here and there. You know, when you reap, just let some drop on purpose. Just let some drop. You see how kind Boaz is being to her? Let some drop. And it says that she got that much. Look at how much she got. She gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Anybody know how much that is? It's about a bushel. It's about as much as a woman can carry. So she gathered about a bushel. And then what they did toward the end of the day, the day it was hot. During the evening when the sun went down, it started to get breezy and cool. And there was a threshing place. There was actually what they called threshing floors. Threshing floors were always located where? On a higher elevation on a hill. Because there they could get the air. Never in a valley. Threshing floor wasn't in a valley. It was always on a hill. In our area, it would be located on a ridge. Be located on a higher elevation. Why is that? You got to have wind. You got to have air movement. And so in the evenings when the sun went down and the air started to blow, then they could take what they got. They would take forks and they would throw this up in the air, and the chaff would blow away. The wind would blow the chaff away, and the good stuff, the grain, would fall. And then the grains, what they'd get together, and they would use the grain to make their food. And that's what they did. So she was winnowing. It's called winnowing. They would throw it up in the air, and the grain would fall, and the chaff would blow away. They did that on the threshing floor in the evening, and that's what she did. She had a bushel, and she brought it home. Not only she had enough for herself, but also she had some for her mother-in-law. And she brought it home for her mother-in-law as well. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is near kin to us and one of our next kinsmen. Naomi now is going to be a matchmaker. She's going to try to be a matchmaker. She wants the best for her daughter-in-law. She's looking and wanting the best for her. So she's going to be a matchmaker. She's going to try to do her best to match Ruth up with Boaz, who is kinsman. And so chapter 3 is the rest chapter. It begins with rest and ends with rest. Chapter 3, verse 1, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now Boaz, our kindred, whose maidens thou wast, behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash yourself and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes. Now, this is Naomi. If you read the rest of it, she's going to set up a match for Boaz and Ruth. This is Naomi. Naomi pushing the envelope a little bit. Can't blame her. She wants the best for her daughter. She wanted the best for her daughter-in-law. So she's putting the push on, and she knows all about how this is going to go. She says to Ruth, now Boaz has been working he's been in the field, and he'll be sleeping in the threshing floor. Tonight he'll be sleeping in the threshing floor. I want you to go at night. Now, why would he be sleeping at the threshing floor? Anybody have an idea? Why Boaz sleep in the threshing floor? Why didn't he go home to sleep? Because all the grain that they had gotten for the day was on the threshing floor. They didn't have no way of getting it to store it anywhere. And remember, in Judges, the Midianites and all the other people were stealing their grain. So the owner would sleep with it. He didn't want anybody stealing his grain. These were his fields. It was like a storekeeper, not having any security. He had to stay with the goods. So Boaz slept in the threshing floor. It was a common thing. They all did it. Any owner that had threshing would stay on the threshing floor with the grain till the grain was put where it needed to be put. Until then, they stayed with it so it wouldn't get stolen. So that's why Boaz is sleeping on the threshing floor. And then, of course, Naomi tells Ruth what she should do when he's asleep. Go uncover his feet and then lay at his feet. When he gets awake, then he'll see you and then ask him what he wants. Now, this is Naomi putting a match up, trying to match up Ruth for Boaz. So it's rest. It started out with rest in the first verse. And look at the last verse. We have to move on. The last verse of chapter 3 says, "Then she said, 'Sit still, my daughter, till thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he has finished the thing this day.'" What's the thing? Well, when he got awake and saw it was her, and he realized, and then she said that you need to be my redeemer. You need to be my kinsman. You need to be my kinsman. So we see the picture here that Boaz, being the redeemer kinsman, is a type of Christ who was our redeemer kinsman. He was our redeemer kinsman. She needed to have somebody to redeem her. She needed somebody to purchase the property. Her husband had an inheritance. But did you know the inheritance wasn't passed usually to the women? It was always passed to the men. So her husband had died. But she needed to have an inheritance. How was she going to survive? Well, it ends up that Boaz marries her, and he really didn't think that she would be interested in such an old guy. He was much older than her, and he really didn't think she would even be interested in him. But he was delighted to even know that she was interested in him. And when he found out that she actually liked him and he liked her, they decided to consummate the marriage. And so they got married. But before that, Boaz had to be the kinsman. But you know, after he was asked about being a kinsman, do you know what he said? We have a bit of a problem, Ruth. I'm not the nearest kinsman. There's one that's closer, that's kinsman. And he's going to have to be the one to redeem you. Oh. That could be a problem. Yes, it could be. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. He said, "I'm going to go sit in the gate." This is chapter 4. It's our last chapter. Boaz goes to the gate. He sets himself down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke came by. "Hey," he said, "turn aside here. Sit down here. We got something we need to discuss." And not only do we have something to discuss, but this was a common place in the gate. It was kind of like a hangout place for the people in town. So there were other men, elders of the city, that were there as well, verse 2. And Boaz had made sure that they were there. Boaz made sure that these men were gathered there because Boaz needed to have witnesses with what he was going to ask him. So these were the witnesses. And Boaz, in front of the witnesses, tells this. He said to the kinsman, "Naomi that has come out of the country of Moab, she is needing to have to sell a parcel of land, which was our brother Amalek's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee. and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Boaz is telling him, if you can't afford to do it, I will. But here's the thing. What then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must also buy the Ruth the Moabite, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, you see. That was where it was all about. So not only do you have to do Naomi's part, you got to buy Ruth's part too. So you're going to need some extra money. Are you still interested in doing that? No, he said, I don't. No, he said, I can't afford to do that yet. Okay. Well, then he said, give me your shoe. He took his shoe and he said, you're sure you're not going to do that? Yep. All right. Need your shoe to make sure you don't back off of your agreement. That was just, it was a handshake in our day. In those days, it was a sandal. It was a shoe. Give me your shoe. I want to make sure you're going to be good in your word. Okay. So that's what they did. They took his shoe off and gave it to him. So Boaz ended up purchasing it for her and ended up marrying her. What a beautiful story. Huh? And it says, verse 9, your witnesses this day have I bought all that was Amalek's and all that was the two boys. Their names are mentioned there in verse 9. And then moreover, verse 10, Ruth the Moabite, wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of this place. Ye are witnesses this day. And those that were there said, yes, verse 11, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman this that is come into your house like Rachel, like Leah, which two built the house of Israel, and thou does worthily in Ephrathah, referring to Bethlehem, to be famous in Bethlehem. Let thy house be like the house of Phares, Tamar, bear unto Judah of the seed which the Lord gave thee unto this young woman. And so verse 13, Boaz took Ruth, she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, it says the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. His name may be famous in Israel, and he is a restorer of thy life and of thy old, a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, has borne him. Verse 16, in this a beautiful picture, Naomi takes the child, lays it in her bosom, and becomes nurse unto it. And the women and the neighbors gave the baby a name, the son that was born to Ruth, but Naomi's taking care of him. They called his name Obed. He would be the father of Jesse, and Jesse would be the father of David. There it is. That's why Ruth has its place in the Bible today, because Jesus would be born of David. So Ruth was part of that wonderful seed and lineage of David. We just went through the book of Ruth. Would you stand with me? Wow. What a blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you so much. This precious and wonderful day, much has been accomplished, much more than we'll ever realize. Thank you for answering the prayers of your people today. Thank you for blessing us with your precious word today. Thank you for all that you will do, all that you will accomplish. And Lord, we want to praise you and thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.